Good morning, everyone. Nearly afternoon. Good job you're not speaking. This is the first morning for a couple of weeks that we haven't had snow on the ground or ice on the windscreen of the car. And looking up over the mountain, up over the middle rain and the grass, that is white there now. And up the garden, when I get my parsnips out, you've got to make sure you plant your parsnips somewhere we get a bit of sun on them. Or otherwise, you can't get them out of the ground. They made it till the spring. And then when we get them out of the ground, we've got to jump to wash them. The ice was that thick on the bowls yesterday. Tried to smash that and get it off. Anyway, we'll have a little true story. I'm running out of true stories now. This young lad, he took his girlfriend halfway up the mountain and put his hand on her knee. And she said, "Hiya." So he took it to the top. I can tell you one thing, that wasn't in January or February. This morning's sermon is called Humour, Happiness, Laughter and Joy. I wrote this just before Christmas, so I was speaking in Tabernacle and lately. And about a week before I gave the sermon, we had our Christmas lunch, and in the middle of the Christmas lunch there's always a quiz which is full of daft questions. There's always a bit of banter going on, and Len, who's one of the members there, and myself was arguing about a couple of the answers. One in particular was, the question was, how far can a dog run into the woods? Well, the answer that the quiz mistress had was all the way. Len and myself argued, it can only run halfway in, because after that it's running out. So that was the sort of questions that that went on. But it was all good banter and all good fun, and I think everybody enjoyed it. But Len and myself said, we'll do the quiz next year and we'll get some questions up and they'll be as daft as you guys. One of the questions that we had was, in the 1970 Irish sheepdog trials, how many dogs were found guilty? The dog that we lost last year, Scampi, he was a sheepdog, Spinoni Cross. And he was a handsome dog. Well, they do say that dog gets to look like his owner, don't they? Oh. My brother's got a boxer. Isn't humour wonderful? Especially when it's shared with friends and family. It's a gift from God. You can't imagine the devil thinking up anything funny. When you laugh, you release endorphins. They're a part of your body's repair kit. They heal sickness, diseases. Laughter is good for you. God wants you well. God wants you happy. When we are gathered here, isn't this the ideal place and in the ideal company? In the company of our Heavenly Father? Just a smile and laugh and joke and rejoice with ourselves. When you think of a loved one who is no longer with us, someone who has been promoted to glory, I guarantee you think of a happy event, a fun time. If you talk about them, it will be something funny or something that brings you pleasure. Do you know what I think? I believe that's the Holy Spirit reassuring you. All is well. Too many people, I believe, are Stoics. If they heard the funniest joke in the world, they would not laugh. And sadly, they occupy many pews in our church today. They miss out on so much in life. Some people believing being solemn and quiet in church is respectful and holy. I'm not going to argue, it's not. But for me, it's a place of joy. It's a place of abundant noise, listening to brilliant music and singing wonderful hymns. It's a place full of life. How many people outside the church think that church is boring, a place where you sit quietly, sing some old songs from your grandparents' day, then sit for 20 minutes or so listening to a sermon, maybe trying to stay awake when we haven't got a clue what's being spoken about? That's not a church I know, or church that I want to be a part of. But sadly, that's the opinion for too many people today. So what does the Bible have to say about laughter, fun and joy? When I started looking, I thought I was batting on the wrong wicket. The first time laughter is recorded is in Genesis 18, 10 to 15. It's when laughter is out of place. It's when God and three angels appeared to Abraham and told him Sarah would have a son. And Sarah laughed. And God speaking, he says, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now Sarah and Abraham were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the time of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have the pleasure, my Lord, of having a child? And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh at bearing a child? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll repeat that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah said, I did not laugh, because she was afraid. But God said, you did laugh. I found a number of examples of laughter, and it was not what I expected to find. I was warming about laughter. But what I really found out is that some of the things the Bible says is laughter out of place. Laughter at someone else's misfortunes. You don't laugh at whatever happens to other people. You laugh with people. And it says in the Bible, sorrow is better than laughter. Sorrow follows laughter. Laughter is meaningless. That's in Ecclesiastes. At this stage, I put my pen down and spent a few hours at my allotments. When I came back, I sat in my chair and thought it all over. Slowly, things started to make sense. There are right times and wrong times to laugh. You laugh with people, not at people or their circumstances. It's a satanic attitude to rejoice when things get worse for people, to pour petrol on their fire. It's a godly thing to rejoice and laugh when good things happen. Small children opening their presents at Christmas and birthdays. Teenagers passing their exams and getting a good job. A new baby in the family. These delights put a smile on anyone's face. Genesis 21:6, Sarah said, after the birth of Isaac, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. But what about the scripture that says, sorrow follows laughter? What does that mean? Well, you only laugh with friends and family. You only feel sorrow if they have an accident, illness, or pass away. The pain you feel and the tears you cry are in proportion to the amount you love. They go together, like a horse and carriage. You can't have one without the other. The more you laugh, the more you live. Initially, I found 9 scriptures straight off where it was inappropriate to laugh. Then I found scripture after scripture, not only about laughter, but about joy, rejoicing, happiness, and contentment. I found something else as well. They all come from God. Psalm 30, 11 to 12. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Joy replaces sorrow. Nehemiah had a lot to say about joy and being happy. Nehemiah was written after the house of Judah returned from exile in Babylon. They were captives for 70 years, so most of the people were born captives and born in a foreign land. In chapter 8, verse 10, we read, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send something to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Chapter 8, verses 17 to 18. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last day, Ezra read from the book of law of God. They celebrated with feasts for 7 days, and on the 8th day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. The content of those few verses is immense. Let's take a closer look, but not a long look. Number one, top quality food and drink is to be enjoyed. Number two, share it with the needy. Number three, do not grieve. Number four, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Number five, celebrate with God, your joy will be great. Number six, gather together in an assembly. Number seven, freedom is what God wants for you. After 7 years of captivity, the first gathering would have been something special. Speaking your own language, eating your type of food, singing songs of your nation and religion, all in a free atmosphere. Isaiah has something to say about the party in the future. Isaiah 44:23. And God speaking. After he says, he has redeemed us and our sins have evaporated like the morning mist. Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, and the earth beneath burst into song. Your mountains, your forests, and all your trees, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob. He displays his glory in Israel. This is one of my favourite scriptures, when all creation sings. It will be a bigger party than the one we read about in Nehemiah, and we'll all be there. It's a scripture about universal rejoicing. It's not a gathering just for the house of Judah. It's a gathering for all the nations in the world. They gather together with all God's creation, animals, birds, plants and trees. This is confirmed in Isaiah 55:12. You will go out in joy and will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. God wants to share the occasion with us. Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. There are many scriptures like Matthew 25:21, where God reassures us of his promises and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. What about the people and nations that plot against Israel and his church? In the Old Testament, in 2 Kings 19:21, 2 Chronicles 30:10, Nehemiah 2:19, Job 12:4, Isaiah 37:22, Ezekiel 23:32. Laughter and scorn go together. God laughs at the plans of the enemies of his people. If you watch the Christian channels, you will see many Muslims threatening to kill the Jews, to kill the Saturday people first and the Sunday people next. They threaten to fly the Islamic flag over the White House. Children in their schools chanting death threats like our children chant the times tables. What does our God do? He laughs at their plans. Their schemes are about as much use as an ashtray on a motorbike. We don't have to make any plans. We just trust and obey. God has plans for us. I'd like to finish with Jeremiah 29:11-13. I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Then you will call me. You will come and pray to me. And I will answer you. You will seek me. And you will find me. Because you seek me with all your heart. And I hope that scripture doesn't just refer to us, but it refers to the enemies of Israel, Judah, and the church. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.